Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is a translation and transliteration of contact information PDP working group on Thursday, the 17th of April, 2014. On the call today, we have May Shwishapim, Rudy Vansnick, Peter Reinforth, Peter Green, Jennifer Chung, Pitanan Koamornpatana, and Peter Dernbach. We have apologies from Chris Dillon, Wolf Nobin, James Galvin, Ephraim Percy Kenyatto. From staff, we have Amy Bivens, Julie Hudland, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Terry Agnew. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Rudy.
Thank you very much, Terry. So welcome on this call. As you know, Chris has been on travel these days, and I was on travel the past two calls, so sorry for that. I've been looking into the agenda, so we did the roll call. And the third point on the agenda is a statement of interest. I think I didn't see any new statement of interest. If there are some to mention, please speak up now. Not hearing any comment on or changes on the statement of interest. I think we can proceed with the next point on the agenda. And as I had to travel back in the calls and the information that was put together, thanks to the marvelous work of Chris, and looking into the work plan and the agenda of the work plan, we're coming close to the date that we decided to have take a stock of the situation, have some inventory, and that's the reason why I have put together a small overview, a summary of what has been done till today, what we received till today. In the past week, we got a new input from three sources, if I'm not wrong. The first one was from Peter Green, and it's an interim report on the internationalized registration data. Maybe, Peter, you can give some additional information if you have some on the inputs that was delivered through that interim report. Are you available on Adobe or are you on the phone, which, Peter?
Oh, that ring for that, was it? I made comments on the last meeting, but of course we can go through them again if you want to.
Well, if you have. Then sorry, I probably missed that information. I myself went through the page 1.7 of the summary, where there is an overview of all the data categories and example data elements. And I think that it is important that we see that the wording free form text. I don't know if there was any particular discussion on that specific format in the previous call.
Well, we had a discussion there. Were there any specific question you had there?
No, just to be sure that that has been handled, that I didn't forget to take that on our work list.
Yeah, okay.
If none, then we can proceed with the other two inputs we received. And one was from IPC, and the information we got from them, and trying to go through the correct documents. Maybe we will have a short overview of what their view on the question, what exactly the benefits to the community are of translation and or transliteration contact information. When I'm reading through their view, they in fact state that if there is no translation, proper translation or transliteration of contact information, the risk record system will lose its clarity, which may cause difficulties for the domain holders in confirming that they have updated and correct contact information. I think that that's the case for any of the risk records, but the clarity in itself seems to me a point where we can have a quite long discussion. Based on the fact that today it is clear that a lot of WIS information really up to date or is not correct, and as such, the result of translation and or transliteration could indeed become very fuzzy. I don't know if someone has a particular view on the comments that we received from IPC. I see, Petter, you have the floor.
Yeah, thanks. Well, we discussed this also last time, and then unfortunately I had to leave the meeting a bit earlier because of, we had because of the Genocide Council meeting that followed us. But just to state again that I think from what we discussed was from an intellectual property point of view that we think from the IPC that it's important to have one, you can call it the official ICANN translation into English, but to have the possibility actually to make a global initial note and translation of the contact information. And if I may say personally, point of view of that, dealing with a lot of domain disputes, that actually we can avoid some of these disputes if you can make a quick and rather clear view and translation of the contact information to identify the holder of the domain name. And then, of course, when it comes to the clean legal action, especially when if you have to go to the national court or send official letters with the perfect address, it must be the address that that is with the so-called local language. But I mean, in order to actually have an easy initial search to identify the holders, we think that it's necessary to have some common global translation of the contact information.
Thank you, Petter, for this clarification. And indeed, the better the basic information is, the better the translation will probably be. And as you said, maybe the correct way is to have a global standardized definition translation to avoid that some data are translated in less valuable information, especially for trademark holders, that can be very important. And probably with regards to discussions when there is a dispute, one can use the translated version to argue on. So I agree that that is still something we have to put on the list on how to tackle that issue at the end. The other input we received was coming from the International Federation of Intellectual Property Attorneys, and they are in fact not part of the SOs and ACs, and as such, I would say that we will keep them in the comments we receive, and we'll probably have a look into it, but I think that it is actually too early to go through their comments and their remarks. Use them when we are going to discuss more in detail the first draft of the perceptions we got. As I said, I've put together an overview, a summary of what has been done in with regard to the questions that we have been putting together, especially Chris has been putting together. When I looked into the different questions in the wiki, for question one, what is contact information, what taxonomies are available, there's quite a lot of information on the wiki, and I think that at this stage we can consider that we have enough data to go to that question. For question two, why are we doing this? I think that's quite clear also. It's well documented in the wiki. And there is still work in progress, of course. On question three, who gets access to what information? It looks like we are missing some data for that question. And that is probably have to pull out of the list of information we are getting together from the other questions. Question four, who are the stakeholders who is affected? That also was quite clear. That is the list of SOs and ACs who have been doing outreach to. Question five, how much would a particular feature cost? And how to weigh the costs versus the benefits. There were four extracts from inputs that Chris has been trying to summarize in order to have a view on the received data. I see in the chat a question from Peter. Just a question, has he now received initial comments from all possible groups of interest? That's a good question. As far as I have seen the list of responses, we got something from the registrars are still outstanding, and I'm just wondering, the business community, did we receive the responses to all the questions? Actually, following the link that Lars was putting in the chat. Yeah, we have the European Commission. We had responses from Thailand, being one of the GAC members, from China. We had from MCSG. So we are still missing. Well, we had ALAC also. They have given a lot of information back to us. But the registrars are still missing. And if I'm not wrong, the business community has not responded yet, although I thought I had seen a message from Marilyn, Kate. I'm not sure because I have so many mails in the past 3 weeks that are still in my list to handle. I'm not sure, but the registrars, I don't know if someone on this call has some input from that community. Is there anyone having input from the registrar's field or from the business community? Please raise your hand and speak up if you can. Not hearing or not seeing any hands coming up. It looks like we need to address the registrar's constituency in order to get their input. At least if they don't have a finalized version, that at least they give us some indication, some guidelines that can start working on the next step of our work plan. Okay, so we didn't have one from Madeline Kate. That's probably another message that has been mingling with this list and from the registrars in media. So there are still two quite important groups that we need to have input from. Perhaps what we could do is, we know when registrars have a conference call in the next 2 weeks so that we could eventually try to get in touch with them on their calls. I'm asking this for Julie or Lars. Do you have any idea if there is a conference call scheduled in the next week or two so that we eventually could trigger them over there?
Rudy, this is Julie Hedlund. I don't know the schedule for the registrar's conference calls. I would suggest that it would be helpful for you on behalf of you and Chris, on behalf of the group, to send a reminder email to perhaps Michele Nalon, the registrar stakeholder group chair, reminding him of the request and copying, I think probably James Liddell and Yoav Karen, who were both interested and said they were interested in providing a response in Singapore. Lars and I could help you put that message together. We should probably include also the letter that had the list of questions on which we want input, and remind them, that we need input, as quickly as possible.
Thank you, Julie. Well, I remember that we have already sent reminders not so long ago. I think it was before the Singapore meeting. Well, I know Michele also, so what I could do is try to catch him. I think we will have a conference call early next week from another working group. Michele is participating. I can ask him sideways if he could pick up our request and respond there as soon as possible. We need to go forward, otherwise we will still wait for input, and at the end we will be squeezed in a lack of time to do the work we really need to do, for a preliminary report and recommendations at the end. I see Julie and Lars. Julie, you have the floor.
Just that I would agree that it would be very helpful if you would reach out to Michele. It is true that we sent reminders prior to Singapore, but then we also did meet with the registrars. You and Chris had met with the registrars in Singapore, and they did say they were interested in providing input. So I think a personal reminder from you to Michele would be most helpful.
Thank you, Julie. Indeed, we had that meeting, and I was a bit surprised that I think it was the statement that he didn't.
Excuse me, Rudy, this is Julie.
We probably have to figure that back again. You have the floor.
You seem to be cutting in and out, Rudy. I don't know if others have noticed that.
Yes, it's the same here. This is Lars.
Oh, sorry.
Yep. And can I just
ask sorry.
Very quickly something on the note on the registrar stakeholder group? Just to let
you know. Yes, go ahead.
Rudy, Michele actually reached out to the secretariat via Marika last week, and I did forward him again. He asked to have the request for input forwarded to him. And I just checked my inbox. I sent that out to him on the 10th. So if you write him a note and say, I will prepare a note and make sure he's reminded that he actually was reminded already post Singapore, but it seems to indicate that they're at least on the case, otherwise Michele wouldn't have come forward, I suspect, and ask for it. So that's somehow good news.
Okay, thank you very much, Lars. Can someone tell me if the audio is better now? Am I still cutting off, or is it better?
That seems better now, Rudy.
Okay, perfect. Well, I know that they have some works going on in the neighborhood, and it could the bandwidth goes up and down. I still have Petter in the queue. Yes, Petter, you have the floor.
Thanks. Just a quick question about our agenda and time limits. I mean, I perfectly agree that we should not wait too much longer to get the initial responses, and if we can, I mean, if it's a couple of weeks, and at least we can get some initial comments from the group of groups that have not responded at all. But my question was, and sorry for that, as I not have it in front of me, when are we presuming to take the next step? I mean, London is approaching, so. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter, for that question. Well, indeed, we have this the work plan that you can find on the wiki, and I will drop it in the chat so you can. Oh, thank you very much. We have really marvelous staff helping us. They even think in our minds, to our minds. Actually, there is a milestone on the 24th of April, which is the next week call, where we will try to figure out where we are, what are the key issues that we need to discuss, and do the review of the relevant work that is taking place in other relevant efforts. I think the second point is an ongoing process, and we did already a lot of work at that point, especially having in Singapore the chance to have a chat with other working groups and being participating in other working groups. But regards where we are, that's the reason why I was trying to put together that summary, in order to allow us to see what fails, what do we miss, and can we start working with what we have. And probably that's material for the agenda for next week. Try to figure out where do we need extra information, and also defining the importance of the information we are missing. If it's really critical, we need to push forward to have that data. I had a chat early this morning with Chris before he left for the airport. We should still wait for some responses. And I told him that, I would say there is a deadline, and we have to respect that deadline, first of all. And secondly, if we always say that we're still allowing them and we postpone a bit the deadline, well, you never get the information if you postpone all the time. That's the, let's say, the experience I have with allowing people to have another deadline. So I would strictly stick to the date that we have now and go for, let's say, a stock take at the next call, and then really define if there is urgency in getting data from specific groups, then try to officially ask for responses, otherwise we will not take them into account in the time slot we are working on the data. Eventually we could, but that's something I have to go back to our IT staff, is we consider that there is a second time slot that we define where we would allow people to have a second time slot of response to questions, or maybe to what we temporarily are putting on the table. I don't know if that process we can use in the working group. Julie, do you have any info?
Hi, Rudy. This is Julie Hedlund. Well, there will be an opportunity for people to comment when we put our preliminary report out into the public comment forum, and we could indeed ask for specific input to questions where we might feel that there are gaps as part of that report. Alternatively, as we compile the responses we have so far, which staff can certainly help to do, we could see if there are some gaps and if there are some groups that we do still want to speak with and gather some input from. We could do that as we are compiling the data to put into our preliminary report. So we have a couple of options.
Thank you very much, Julie. And I consider that when once we are sending out a preliminary report, that we will not allow to come into a stage where at the end we have to redo the work due to the fact that we are getting supplementary information from a group that didn't respond earlier, because then we are probably going to be in a lot of difficulties to match the end deadline of the working group. As far as I remember, it's around mid-December that we have to finalize that one. So when I'm going back to the summary at question six is, when would policy come into effect? It's clear that that will depend on the final decision and recommendations we are going to put forward, and also depending on what is done in other working groups. And I'm looking especially to the expert working group on GTLD directory services. I think they are now in a stage where they are trying to finalize or doing a wrap for a public comment period, so we probably will be able to have some input coming from the public comment period too. That would help us in aligning some tasks. I don't know if there are other opinions on that question. The next one is what should be mandatory. And again, that goes back to the expert working group, where we have been learning a lot about their progress. There are a lot of opinions with regard to the fact that translations should be mandatory. From some, we learned that it should absolutely be mandatory, and others are saying, well, please keep us away from that. I think that linked to that question is most probably the question about who is going to pay the cost of this. And that is probably one of the matrices that are going to influence some of the recommendations. I don't know if someone has some comments or remarks or additional inputs to that question, what should be mandatory. From what I heard from Peter, it's clear that there is a need for it. But again, the question is if it's mandatory, there is a cost linked to it, and the question is who's going to pay that that cost. From what I learned in Singapore is the fact that in a lot of countries, and if I remember well, we got a message from the minister of in Singapore during the ICANN meeting saying that the privacy data privacy regulation and law was voted and implemented in Singapore, and it looks like that law is even more strict than the one we have in Europe. So I imagine that due to certain restrictions, sometimes translation will be really needed, or transliteration will be really needed. In other cases, it could be that it is prohibited due to the fact that you have the data privacy law. I don't know if someone else has some thoughts on this point. It's something that is bouncing in my mind, how to handle if you're not allowed to transfer personal private information, which could be contact information of a domain name, when it travels through regions where it is not allowed to go to. So I'm wondering if that is something we have to keep in our discussion, or is this something we can drop off the plate? I'm just wondering. Has anybody some reactions to that one? I don't see any hands now. But maybe it's something that we really need to pick up in the later discussion. There are countries that are very strict in privacy law and could as such influence the fact that data is going to be translated or transliterated. I haven't yet seen any law saying that you cannot translate, but if it's used in a legal context, I think it's quite important. I see Peter raised hand. Yes, Peter, you have the floor.
Thanks. So I may have missed part of it, but if we're talking about showing the contact information overall, I know that there are problems or limitations in some countries, and I mean, just to take the EC example with the EU regulations. But on the other hand, as I see it right now, I don't think that's an issue that is on our board, on our table right now. We can, of course, have it in mind, but I don't think we should focus on that. Unless we hear others from other groups of interest, and I mean, isn't it still other working groups dealing with related issues on the contact information? That's the question.
Thank you, Peter, for this additional information and your point of view with regard to the privacy. I was pointing to that fact due to the question, what should be mandatory? If it's mandatory and it's a breach of law, as we just discovered that the EU, the court, decided that the data retention regulation is a breach of the data privacy regulation. So you imagine if we are saying that it is mandatory and it has to be done, and there are laws that no, you can't, then we have an issue. But I think it's indeed something we can wait till a later stage to handle that question. But we may keep that in the back of our mind, I would say. And I see Peter Nunn reacting to your second or your last question. The expert working group is taking a look at this issue. Okay, good. That's perfect. So we are not the only ones who are triggering that one, and we will probably wait till we got their response on that, probably the best thing to do now. Coming back to I think the point seven, question seven, what should be mandatory, I think that we have to wait for some input of specific working groups in order to enable us to take a direction. Most probably we will have an optional recommendation if such is allowed. But I would do the suggestion that we have two possibilities. One, if it's mandatory and the consequences. If it's not mandatory, then we have other consequences to put forward. In question 8, verification and validation, we also got input from different sources, and we had this information and very interesting presentation from Peter Nam from Thailand. That was very, very helpful. Also information from Margie Millen from a blog. There was also the Who is Accuracy program specifications where we can have some input from, and the status update report from the expert working group, where page 22 to page 30 has been specifically addressed. That's what I tried to put together today to see if this list, this summary, is contains enough information and enough answers to questions so that we can start next call triggering the and based on the plan that has been put forward in agenda, that we could try to work on a more detailed overview with the initial idea of using a matrix where we would be able to start having some concrete proposals in the sense of for each topic. I remember that we discussed the data categories. That's an initial point that is coming from the expert working group. That we start working on the definitions also in the matrix. As far as I remember, today we didn't have yet put together a list of definitions. I'm just wondering if it would be good to have a kind of lexicon on wordings and definitions that we will use in the matrix in order to avoid that we have long texts in the matrix, which makes it almost impossible to read nicely and have a good view on what's good, what's bad. I don't know if someone has any arguments on or comments on or proposals at that point. I don't see any hands up. Then, being on the point of work plan, which is number 5 on the agenda today, maybe if we can have the work plan in our session here. Actually, we are on the second page of our work plan. So today we are trying to finalize the review of all the stakeholder groups, SOSACs, for their comments, and it's clear that they're still missing some. and I would, and I dare say that registrar's comments are very important in discussions we need to have, because I think the group that is going to be the most affected one, once we go to make some reporting and recommendations. Then next week we should, as said, try to put all together, and I think this call already we have been creating an overview of what's present and what's missing. The 1st of May we look at the review of the work plan, and I suppose that the ideas that we have a look on, the steps following the 1st of May, how are we going to handle the discussions on the open issues and the draft recommendations. I'm looking a bit to Lars or Julie, as they have a lot of experience in doing this work. Is there, do we do that in separate groups, or is this done all together? I'm looking into the different elements we have to go through. I don't think we need subgroups, but yes, Sally, can you clarify?
Thank you, Rudy. This is Julie Hedlund. I don't think we probably need subgroups. That's generally something we would do if we have a bit more time. But what we could do is take each open issue one at a time and, you know, discuss them in sequence. I think having a document that summarizes the responses we've received, or, you know, groups them into categories, you know, based on the issues, could help to lead the discussion. And then, you know, we could separate each of the open issues and address them one at a time. And as you see, we have several meetings in which to do that. And staff also could help to draft recommendations for that discussion based on the inputs that we have received. So there are some ways that we can certainly help to guide that discussion.
Thank you very much, Julie, for that information and clarification. When I look into the work plan and the agenda between today and the London meeting, well, we have 1 month and a half, approximately, maybe 2 months, if I'm taking it in a large way. But that means that we have only something like 6 calls left to handle the first draft. As I remember that we have to make a presentation of that work that we achieved at the London ICANN meeting. And I think it's important that at that moment we have a clear view of the directions we are going to give into the recommendations, in order to be able to discuss with the other groups, the other SOs and ACs, their point of view. I see, I thought that I saw Julie's hand up, but probably the old one. I think it's important that we have a clear view, and 6 weeks, 6 months is going to be quite short, I think. But I can be wrong, as I have seen what we did and obtained in the past few weeks, with the great help of Chris, we probably will get something done for the long. I'm just wondering, for the London meeting, do we go to have, again, meetings with the other SOs and ACs, if possible, in order to discuss what we are presenting? Because I consider the face-to-face still the most valuable way of handling this type of work. As we discovered that in Singapore, there were a bit of surprises at the at one site. At the other site, we had a marvelous meeting with other groups, giving us a lot of information. So I'm wondering if we want to do this in the London meeting, where I know that it's going to be very tight. Do we have to start figuring out if we want to have face-to-face meetings over there? I see Julie's hand. Yes, Julie, you have the floor.
Thank you, Rudy. This is Julie Hedlund. Yes, we certainly do have the option of trying to schedule meetings face-to-face in London, subject to the other group's schedules. I think the sooner that this working group can decide which groups with which it wants to meet, staff can help to try to get on those schedules, because the earlier we make those meeting requests, the better.
Thank you, Julie. Well, I consider that in this case, a meeting with the registrars is most probably of high value, high importance, so that I consider one of the groups we should try to have a face-to-face meeting. I don't know if others have indications of SOs or ACs that we really need to see to discuss with. I remember that in Singapore that was very fruitful, the ones we had with the IPC, if I'm not wrong, and another one where we had a lively discussion and very valuable input. Maybe the at large, as they have given a lot of information, and they are, let's say, the group that represents the most of the internet users and consumers. Maybe that's also a group we need to have a full understanding once we present our first thoughts to them. That's the two groups that I see of important schedule in the London meeting. I don't know if anybody else has other expectations from groups to have a chat with in London? Don't see any hands up nor any comments in the chat room. So I consider that there is no need for other groups to see. I presume that we will have, anyway, the expert working group where we will be invited to. They probably will have also a presentation in London. Having James, he probably take the time to give some presentation about the work they have been doing. And I'm wondering if they are going to be in a final time slot at that moment. I thought it was around June that they had to have their report done. Is that correct, Lars?
This is Lars. Thanks, Rudy. Yes, I spoke to my colleague, Alice Janssen, recently, who's staffing the expert working group, and she said the report is at the moment on schedule to be, the final report to be published in time for London, so it should be okay.
Okay, so that's perfect. That allows us to have immediately all the input we needed. So it is most probably possible that for the call that we would have the 12th of June, a preparation for London, that we will have already the input from the expert working group to align with what we have been doing till then. That seems to me very good solution. I'm wondering if there are any other question about the work plan. Does someone have any comments on the work plan that and the calendar we have in front of us? Not seeing any responses or reactions, so I would say that we stick to that plan now, and we prepare for the next call a kind of detailed overview, let's say a worked out overview of the summary that I've put together very quickly today. We have three action items on the agenda, so I think we have already a lot of work in front of us for the next call to work on. I would say if someone can bring in extra input, it's always very interesting that, as we received from the International Federation of Intellectual Property Attorneys, I will probably have a chat with the, before I forget, a chat with UPU, as they have a specific way of addressing the street names and villages and so on. There seems to be predefined rules of handling that. I'm going to try to have some input from them so that we could eventually have a short reporting from what they see as being very useful when you handle addresses. They have a lot of issues that they have already handled, so I think it's good if we could have input from them too. And I see Jennifer Chung mentioning that we are going to have input from the registry group. Is that correct, Jennifer? I will have a chat beginning of next week with the people from UPU, as I'm involved in a project in at European level with IPC regards data privacy, and I know that they have been trying to solve issues that most probably we will encounter later on. I don't know if there are any other businesses we have to address today. Has anybody questions, remarks, comments, additional information? I would say speak up now. I see many are typing in the chat room, so I expect some answers. Questions in there? Okay, good. Then if we don't have any other questions or comments to handle, I would say that we can then come to an end of this call. And I would like to thank you all for your presence and participation in this call. And further on the mailing list, I know that we are in a constant process of handling information through the mailing list also. So I will now follow up as I have no travel foreseen in the next 4 weeks. Luckily, I am. Otherwise, it's messy if you have to handle all this backlog. So I would like to thank you and thanks to Lars and Julie and Terry for helping and supporting us. And we'll make all next week.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Happy Easter.
Thank you, everyone. And Andre, if you could stop the recordings, please.
Yes, certainly.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Rudy. Have a good day.